Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Kelly.
Ugh, you sound grody.
Yep. I'm stuck in Texas with allergies.
Nice.
This time of year, the pollen count from cedar trees is really high, and I'm putting up a fence in my backyard, and it just so happened that I had to prune a cedar tree. So I'm like, this is going to be great for the listeners.
Your gruff voice now matches your scruffy beard.
I'll probably listen to this back and be like, I sound amazing.
I should have a cold all the time.
My voice is so sexy. Anyway, so I just got off of work, and I've been thinking about this all day long. And what I wanted to bring to you...
And bring it.
So, what I wanted to bring to you about Billy this week, because we alternate, it's my turn to go first.
You go first.
She...
You know you went first last week.
Did I?
Yeah. But I know that you are the center of your world, so...
So, she's almost 21 months old. It seems like she's kind of like wanting to be acknowledged when she does something. So, like, she's looking for approval or whatever. Okay. What... would you say are some healthy reward systems for toddlers? Like, we can't just give her a cookie every time she does something good. How do you, you know, how do you show her, like, hey, that was really good, so that she wants to continue doing good things?
What did your grandparents do?
Bought me stuff.
Well, that obviously didn't work, because you continue to look for approval from others every time you go on stage.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil her, you know. So I want to do a healthy...
Right, and you've already completely spoiled her, so there's nothing else to buy her anyway.
That's my mom's fault.
Always blame the mom.
Her grandmother.
Yeah. Right, Nana's to blame. Okay, so you're looking for ways to positively reinforce your daughter where you're not spoiling her and or going broke in the process.
Yes, that would be preferable.
Okay, this is going to be way out there.
Okay.
So I need you to just understand how crazy this might be.
You're going to say hug her.
I was going to say use your words.
Oh, yes. Okay. I mean, I think we do that. I guess I'm really just looking for reassurance that what we're doing is good, you know? So just be like, hey, that was really good.
That's awesome. And yeah, and if you're pointing out the good behaviors, there's this cool parenting right now for your parenting generation where no matter what it is that they're doing bad, they'll first say something that they do really well. Like, Billy, you scrunch the dog's face so well, but you can't jump on the couch. Or whatever.
Okay. What if, it, like, can it be related? Like, hey, you do a really good job jumping up and down, but you can't jump up and down on the couch. That's outside.
That makes way more sense.
Or does it need to not, like, that could be confusing, I guess.
No, I think it's great. I think you point out what's good about the behavior, what you want to have changed.
Hey,
for sure.
You're really good at pooping your pants, but right now I need you to eat your vegetables.
What? All right, so what is Billy doing that is good that she is looking for reinforcement
Not on? A lot these days.
It goes in waves, my friend. It goes in waves.
I'm really just thinking about, like, the type of toys and learning that we're doing, you know? It's like one of my sisters got her a little flower kind of set up so she can pretend to be gardening with me, and she stacks them on top of each other, and they're different colors and shapes, so she gets to make her own flowers. My aunt got her a board with shapes of animals that she puts into things, and she's really good at that. And I can tell, like, when she does something and then she's looking at you, like, she's wanting to be told, like, hey, that was really good, or, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to pay attention to what she's doing so that I can tell her when she's doing things the right way. Because it does seem like I spend a lot of time telling her what not to do right now as opposed to congratulating her on doing other things. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I really want to promote the positive behavior so that I'm not constantly going, stop eating the dog food.
That seems to be a recurring thing.
It is every day recurring.
Oh, dude. Okay, So the thing about what you were talking about with the stack, the puzzles and the stacking games,
yes.
Part of the reinforcement is actually in the action because the piece goes in the puzzle and it's delightful.
Right.
You know, and I still get that. I was working on a puzzle today at the doctor's office.
Was it a child's puzzle?
It was like a 1,000-piece, you know.
Is it a community puzzle?
Yes. Was,
you know, some jerk took a piece home with him so that it's never going to get finished.
It was me.
Why would you do that?
I just want to be the one to put the last piece in.
Oh, so you're just going to keep it until you go back one day and it's almost done?
I like to win.
Diabolical.
I think it's brilliant foresight.
There's no winning when it comes to putting a puzzle together with the community.
You're doing it wrong.
Oh, my goodness. Why does everyone in my life have to be so competitive when
Dude,
I am the best at everything?
Mitch, I saw you play a pool game for cash with a pool hustler who was wasted, whipped your ass, and you're like, I'll be back again to play you, even though you have zero chance of winning.
That's the hustle. You have to let them think that you can't ever beat them.
I watched you play. I don't think you can.
I was off my game that night.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'm just hoping I get him alone somewhere where there's a cornhole board and then...
Oh, you want to cornhole him?
Yeah. I would love to cornhole that guy.
Just, you know, get him alone and cornhole him.
Yeah.
You got to have dreams. Who likes to win? We like to win. All right. So she's already getting some reinforcement in that. And then it's just verbal reinforcement. Like, okay. That's awesome. And then you can use that, parlay that into some working on her own time as she matures, right?
Yes.
So, like, right now, maybe her puzzle has 5 pieces. Each animal fits into a spot. Be like, hey, while Daddy does this, can you see if you can get all the pieces in the puzzle?
While Daddy makes this old-fashioned right here, see if you can figure out these puzzle pieces.
How many old-fashions until you can't figure out all the puzzle
pieces? Daddy's going to smoke this cigar outside, so you got about 35 minutes to finish this puzzle.
Let's see if you can do it. Goals.
She's spending a lot of time with me outside, which has been a lot of fun. She did not get allergies.
She still has time.
Oh, man, she's just enjoying the outside. But it's funny because I had to ask everybody to get her children versions of the things that I'm using because I was putting together her swing set. And then I started noticing that all of my tools were just spread around the yard. I'm out, like, working in the garden, and she's taking the trowel from me and going off to the side and digging her own holes.
That's awesome.
So I was like, my mom got her a little miniature toolbox, and then my sister got her a gardening set with a wheelbarrow. And then another sister of mine got her a roller coaster. So she's got this roller coaster sitting there. And instead, she's like, hey, Dad, I got my shovel. Let's go dig in the garden together. And I'm like, what about ride the roller coaster?
So when she goes and digs the hole, does she need positive reinforcement there?
I give it to her for sure because she's helping Daddy work in the garden. I definitely want her to, like, be into all this kind of stuff as well. I think that's, you know, like, when she's taking my tools away, I feel like I could be like, hey, like, don't touch my stuff. Those are expensive, like, whatever. Like, I don't want to lose them. But instead, like, she's running around with my wrench, and I'm just saying, like, hey, thank you so much for helping Daddy. You know, like, I want to encourage her to do these things.
That's awesome. That's a great game to teach her, to name the things and have her bring them to you. I thought you didn't want her to touch your tools because they're incredibly dangerous for a 20-month-year-old child.
No, she wears safety glasses. That's it for me and Billy. We got some time to go over your stand-up comedy routine this week. Well, first of all, I want to go over our homework assignment from last week, and that was for you to try and find a location to maybe do an open mic or maybe try and get like a monthly showcase or something like that going.
Right.
Did you make any what's the word I'm looking for?
Headway?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I feel like every person has their strengths, and I brought one of my strengths hardcore to this assignment.
You went out drinking?
That strength is procrastination.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did absolutely nothing except worry about it. So
Okay, well, while you were worrying, did you think of any places that it might be a good venue for comedy?
I have three written down, so I suppose what I should do is go talk to people.
Yeah, well, let's talk about those three venues real quick.
Okay.
All right, so you got three venues written down that you think might make for good venues. So let's talk about where they're at in the like area of Wichita Falls, and then what would make them good venues. So what's the first one you have?
Okay, so the first place I was thinking about is called Undeclared, and the reason I think it's cool because it's got a neat vibe. They have cornhole there, so you can invite that man.
Okay.
From the bar. And you can try to cornhole him there. But they also have a stage. It's in the mall, which is a little bit untraditional.
Is it like a Dave and Buster's or?
No, there's no real games inside.
All right, you got to get on this one fairly quickly because I imagine, I know it like opened up recently, right?
It's been a few months, but it.
So someone's going to try and go in there and do something with that place. So you should go in there. And again, you got to let them know like, hey, I'm Kelly Quinn from 104.7 The Bear. I want to start a monthly show here or whatever. I wouldn't use this one as your open mic. This is the venue that I would work with comedians in Dallas and in Austin to come up and once a month put on a good show.
That sounds good. I mean, their little thing here is come for a quick lunch or a night out. So they're locally owned, which is neat. So they're going to understand where we're at here and what life really is.
Yeah. I think if you could get a Thursday night show there once a month, maybe that would be good because they probably have like live music or something on Saturdays.
Sing along to great music provided by Undeclared in Wichita Falls. Let's see, that is Friday and Saturdays from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say either a Thursday or Sunday show. Sunday, you could possibly find, like, look at the calendar for the comedy clubs in Dallas or Fort Worth. Find out the headliners that are working there and then see if they would want to come up to do the show in Wichita Falls. That way they don't have to drive very far.
Right.
I mean, that might work great. So that would be one that I would say, let's work on getting a monthly showcase at.
Okay.
So what's the second venue you got?
There is a pub downtown that's just always fun when I go in there. It's also locally owned.
Now, you're not talking about the brewery, are you?
Yeah, Wichita Falls Brewing Company.
I've been in there.
It's a little loud.
My only thing would be the setup for it, the way they have those really long tables. I don't know that an existing PA system in there.
I've been down there. They do trivia. So I've gone down and sucked really bad playing some trivia down there. So it's possible, but they do serve a lot of beer,
yes,
which I feel is conducive to a good comedy environment.
Beer is a great comedy aperitif.
The only thing
I don't know if that's the right word.
I think an aperitif is... No.
I shouldn't have said anything because you were just going to go with it. Mm-hmm. But now people are Googling aperitif. What I would say, that would be a great one for an open mic. That one could be maybe like a weekly open mic. I think it would be a good spot. I don't know if I would put the effort into making that one like a showcase kind of place.
Right.
But I would see what they say. When do they do trivia there?
It's one of the T days, Tuesday or Thursday.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's Thursday.
I think a weeknight open mic would work there. And then what was your third venue?
The third venue is a pizza place downtown that I've been to.
Stone?
No.
I love that you got these places and you didn't write down the name of them.
It's in my head.
But you have notes for them, right?
I do. Yes. In my head. Hold on. Let me pull it.
In my head. In my head.
Venues.
Oh, that was a good one. I was trying to figure out where to go.
The answer is...
Half Pint Tap Room.
So there's a pizza place in downtown Wichita Falls that's called Half Pint.
Yes.
They have tons of beer on tap, and they do actually pretty darn good pizza. But what's great about this place, because the dining room's pretty loud, they have a back room, and it's really quite big, and I've gone and seen some bands there. It's pretty nice. They've got a stage set up. They've got everything kind of worked out where it would be great for a showcase.
I think that would be an awesome venue. I think it probably holds like, what, like 200 people or something like that?
Probably.
So I would talk to them and, you know, let them know that you have all the connections in Dallas and Austin and Los Angeles and New York, and that you would like to put on a monthly show there that is, you know, something more professional than anything that's been offered in Wichita Falls. And, you know, always remind them that you have the radio gig to promote the shows locally on air.
One of the issues is somebody who runs a different open mic saw that I was at Half Pint before going and doing their open mic, and they're like, hey, I've been thinking about talking to them about an open mic.
Yeah, who cares? I wouldn't worry if someone else says they're trying to do something, because from what I've seen, what everybody else is doing, it's not a very high-level product that they're offering. So if you can do something better, that's what I would try and do.
So you're saying even if they were looking there for an open mic, I could still go forward talking to them about possibly doing a monthly show?
Yes, because an open mic there would be terrible. I wouldn't want to put an open mic in there because it would ruin their taste for comedy.
The thing is the dining room is the room that would be the right size for an open mic, but it's way too loud. The hall in the back is where you'd want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's quite large.
I mean, I would start there with the showcase, and then maybe eventually. I think one thing that needs to happen is there is a college community here that is untapped, and I think that there's probably plenty of young people who would be interested in trying to do stand-up comedy here at MSU, and because they're seeing the people that are doing comedy around here, maybe, and they're just kind of turned off from it. They're not trying. I think there's more people here than we realize that we could probably get interested in doing stand-up.
I did two open mics this week in Wichita Falls.
Yes.
The first one had a host and three comedians. And the second one, the host left before it started, and it had three comedians. One was so high he had to leave because he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to drive home safely if he didn't leave right then.
So he drove when he was at his peak high. That's the most high thinking I've ever heard. Rather than let me wait this out a little bit.
Like, oh, dude, I'm so high. I need to go now.
Yeah. No, I've been there. All right. Well, I mean, you did some of your homework assignment.
I don't know if I can explain to you how terrifying this assignment is.
I mean, it's very difficult to go into venues. I'm trying to talk to a couple of them myself. So, you know, let's just keep working on it and see what we can get. And then hopefully we can start bringing people to shows.
The other side of it is if we go the showcase route, which is what I think we should do, there's already two active open mics in Wichita Falls. It's a small area with a very...
place doesn't need any more open mics.
It's got a very inbred comedy scene.
Yes, they're just the same people doing the same joke over and over again, and they're not learning, they're not doing anything new. Like, I'm not trying to disparage what people are doing here, but it's not advancing the scene any.
The other thing is do we want to swim upstream and work in Wichita Falls, or do we want to go where there's already a flow and try more to get on shows that are in driving distance?
Well, so that is your next homework assignment.
Oh, no, I can't take any more homework.
Yeah,
no.
So we want to cultivate a scene here for ourselves. That is your previous homework assignment that you're still working on because you were late, and I'm giving you an extension on turning in your homework. Your next homework assignment I will give to you after we review this last set that you wrote.
Okay.
Which you did perform recently, right?
I've done it twice. I did it at both open mics. I feel like there's still a lot of growth that can happen in this set.
So did you get an audio recording of this by any chance?
I don't trust anyone I was there with my phone after...
After you've messed with somebody's phone?
Yes.
You're afraid that they might retaliate for your poor behavior?
Yes. And okay. I would have it coming. There's nothing I can say about it. Some people wonder if advertising works. I vote yes. I'm especially affected by billboards. I was driving through Tulsa. There was this billboard that read, strangulation, and then underneath that in parentheses, choking is deadly. Nothing else. What product is this billboard advertising? Killing? Like, if you can't stand your partner who you're on a road trip with, choking is deadly. Hashtag Gabby Petito.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's go to the beginning real quick. So, like, read that beginning part over.
Some people wonder if advertising works. I vote yes.
Okay, there's no reason to say that.
Any of it?
Any of that.
Just start with, I was driving to Tulsa.
You can say, because I think later you acknowledge the fact that you're susceptible to advertising,
mm-hmm.
right? But that does, there's nothing funny with what you're saying right there.
Nothing. So it's just set up.
Yeah. So just go.
I'm driving to Tulsa.
Well, you can say I'm very susceptible to advertising. And on my way to Tulsa, I saw a billboard that said da 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 da. So go on and skip past the hashtag Gabby Petit.
Maybe the Census Bureau got tired of sending subliminal messages about our population problem with all those abortion is just healthcare billboards. And they decided to take a more direct approach. Could this be like advice for felons who can't buy guns? I know you can't buy a gun, but your neighbor still lets their dog crap in your yard. It's so annoying. Strangulation is deadly. Maybe it's just instructions for, like, a hitman. Maybe it is a stark, bold advertisement for something, like a museum. Maybe there's a strangulation museum in Tulsa.
All right, stop. So go back to the beginning of that page.
I was kind of saying that they didn't get to the root of the problem with the abortion is healthcare billboards. So that now
there's. Was that a Census Bureau advertising campaign?
No.
So what are you saying?
I guess I need to like work on my words.
Yeah, that's important in stand-up comedy.
Maybe society got tired of sending subliminal messages about our population problem with all those abortion is just healthcare billboards. They decide to take a more direct approach.
Oh, so those are billboards that are promoting abortion.
Yes.
I've never seen those in Texas. The only billboards I've seen in Texas are the heart starts beating 30 minutes after conception and things like that.
Is that true?
No. And obviously I'm exaggerating too because it's like day four or whatever, but none of that is relevant. I just have never seen you should get an abortion billboard.
That's why I have Google. Let me bring this up. So
I love that they use... on the billboard that you just pulled up for me, they use the stethoscope to represent the ovaries. Abortion is self-care. Abortion is health care. Okay. I've never seen that before. And now, have you seen these billboards in Texas?
I don't know. I'm not always in Texas, but I have seen these billboards. Okay. So now that we've proven that these billboards do exist... All right.
So now I understand. You're saying that the abortion conglomerate is sending out subliminal messages to keep the population number down by promoting abortions. And now the billboard is saying, like, hey, did you accidentally have that baby? Choking.
Strangulation.
We can get rid of it.
Kills. Just
hey,
let you know.
If the umbilical cord wasn't wrapped around his neck, you can use the extension cord.
Yeah, I mean, we're all out of phone cords these days.
Got it. Okay. And then what was the next one?
Is it like advice for felons who can't buy guns?
Okay, that was good. I didn't like the part about like your neighbor's dog is pooping and that's annoying. Is it advice for felons who can't buy guns? It's like, hey, we know you can't vote, but there's still a way to kill people.
That's good.
And like, what are other things that felons can't do? Hey, I know you can't go to Canada, but if you need to kill someone, you can just use your hand. You know, whatever.
Strangulation. Something you can do with your hands when you're not beating off.
Who has time? And then what was the next thing?
It is missing a punchline.
But what was it?
Maybe it's instructions for hitmen. It is just naked and afraid hanging out there.
Oh, it's instructions for a hitman. You know how like when they normally will just go sit on a park bench and the guy is like, don't you hate it when it snows in Oklahoma? And then the guy is like, yes, but I always pack a parka. Like that's a code. And then he gets handed the target. That just got too complicated because of TikTok and so we don't have the attention span anymore. So now they're just putting the instructions on a billboard.
I feel like it could be instructions for a hitman and then like the next billboard is the picture of your target.
There you go. That's perfect. But the next billboard was one that was a it was one of the abortion billboards.
Check.
You know, the heart starts beating in the first month. So
the heart starts beating before conception.
Go strangle that fetus.
You can do it with their own umbilical cord.
Okay, and then you jump into the museum part, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I had this bit I was trying to work out in there about the blackout challenge. Do you know about the blackout challenge?
Yeah, we talked about that. You just did three good ones.
Don't do a shitty one.
The rule of threes, you know?
The rule of threes, is this
that
like
should have been day one on this podcast.
Menage a trois
no,
jokes?
The rule of threes is things are funnier in groups of three.
Really?
Yes.
Where's our third person?
Oh, God. It's hard to find one in Wichita Falls. Our third person is not stuck in Texas.
Damn it. We let one get out.
Yeah.
Where's our border control now? Maybe it's a stark, bold advertisement for something like a museum. Maybe there's a strangulation museum in Tulsa. It is Tulsa. So the museum would have to have an exhibit about the Tulsa race riot massacre from back in 1921. The whole debacle all started with the lynching, which is strangulation.
All right, so stop.
And deadly.
So just real quick, all of that stuff you said at the beginning was very long and unnecessary. What if you just said, maybe it's an advertisement for the strangulation museum in Tulsa. I don't know if there is one, but there could be. Da 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 da. I just feel like you said a lot there leading up to the Tulsa riot, race riot or whatever.
Right. I think what I was...
I don't mean to diminish
no.
the impact of that by saying whatever.
No, no. What I think I was sort of going with is, like, if I'm fantasizing about this museum, it would be sort of like a stream of consciousness. I just need to smack my stream of consciousness around and tell it to get on a straight line.
All right, read it again.
I don't want to.
It's fine. Just I want to get it in my ear one more time.
Maybe there's a strangulation museum in Tulsa. It is Tulsa, so the museum would have to have an exhibit about the Tulsa race riot massacre from back in 1921. That whole debacle started with the lynching, which is strangulation and deadly. I went to the Bob Dylan Museum in Tulsa. It couldn't be more painful than that. Why not an exhibit to the worst act of racial terror in American history?
The Bob Dylan? every song Bob Dylan sang is torture.
It is to me. Like, I love his songwriting, but the man should not sing.
I couldn't tell you how good his songwriting is because I can't listen to it.
Do you like... Do you like Darius Rucker's A Wagon Wheel?
I do like Wagon Wheel. I know that one line was in something that Dylan did, but he didn't write a whole song about it. Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
Okay, so Dylan wrote the chorus, and the verses were added later.
Yeah.
Rock me, mama, like a
wagon wheel. Didn't he also do Along the Moon Tower or whatever? Because Hendrix covered it.
You mean the Watchtower?
Yeah, Watchtower. So Hendrix covered it, but I think it was a Bob Dylan song prior to that.
Yeah, Bob Dylan was prolific and an amazing songwriter. But, man, he ruined all of it by singing.
And then they dedicated a museum to it?
Yes, I posture in that joke that going to the Tulsa Race Riot Massacre Museum could not be more painful than going to the Bob Dylan Museum.
I'm glad you added the word museum in there because I will say actually being involved in the massacre itself was probably, even if just a little bit, more torturous than the Bob Dylan Museum.
I feel like if they were going to do psychological warfare on people, Bob Dylan would be the keystone.
Like just playing that music over and over and over.
Over and over. I'd tell him anything.
All right. So what's the next line?
I suppose the Strangulation Museum could have a wrestling exhibit. They choke each other for funsies. Maybe the WWE just needs a reminder about obvious stuff like choking is deadly. And while we're stating the obvious, steroids give you a tiny penis.
I wouldn't even say while we're stating the obvious. I like that joke. I think that's very funny. I would just say that choking kills and steroids give you tiny penises.
I wonder how they could do a tasteful exhibit about autoerotic asphyxiation. You know, that thing where they beat off with a belt around their neck? A person who performs autoerotic asphyxiation has a special name. Anybody know what that is?
What's that name?
A gasper. Sure, about 250 American gaspers die annually, but I have to assume they die happy.
That is such a crazy... No, I can't believe 250 people jerk off with a belt tied around their neck.
It's not always a belt.
Much less die from doing it.
I'd say there's probably a pretty high fatality rate in this particular segment of the sexual population.
I mean, the way that they do it is normally like they just use a door handle and they sit down so that their body weight is doing it. But I would think they must be pushing it right to the edge if they can't stand up to relieve the pressure around their neck.
It is horrifying.
You're wondering why I know so much about this.
It is horrifying how much you know about this.
Well, when the whole thing happened with the guy from the Kung Fu TV show, I looked into it. I was wanting to know what happened to my hero, you know? So you find out things you didn't necessarily know you ever wanted to know.
You need to clear your search history now. So I have to assume they die happy with huge boners. How did autoerotic asphyxiation come about? Maybe public hangings. It's true. Here's the origin story. When they would hang men, they would give one last salute from their pants, which must be why the whole town would come out and watch. It would answer the age-old question of how do you hang erect? If you want to see who's hung, go to a hanging.
Instead of how do you hang, wouldn't it be how's it hanging?
How's it hanging?
When I was reading that, when we were going over it, I couldn't figure out what you were saying. You were trying to say, how's it hanging? Erect. Okay, I get it now.
It would answer the age-old question of, how's it hanging? Erect. If you want to see who's hung, you go to a hanging, I guess. Erectile dysfunction is nothing new, and back in the day, there wasn't Viagra or Cialis. But as mentioned, there were stiffs with stiffies who occasionally ejaculated.
Are you saying they would ejaculate after they were dead?
Yeah.
I know that sometimes you poop when you die. I didn't know the other thing happened.
I don't think that normally happens. I think it's something to do with the hanging process.
Got it.
So, by the associative property of erections, some brainiac started using self-asphyxiation to treat ED. Getting hard through a little choke and stroke, just what the doctor ordered. Strangulation, choking, is deadly. But really, for anyone who goes out this way, it'll be the first descriptor after their dead name. Like Bob, he died beating his meat suspended by his neck with a pair of queen-size control-top pantyhose. Yeah, he made the best chili. Had great lights at Christmas. Good guy, Bob. Little weird. Sure, it's stigmatized when a gasper dies in the act, but they went out doing what they love. In the Tulsa Strangulation Museum gift shop, they could totally sell belts. Turns out the billboard was not an advertisement for a strangulation museum, although I think it's a missed opportunity. The billboard was about domestic violence, which sucks. Yeah, because people are getting hurt. But more, because I'm not allowed to joke about domestic violence. So I guess instead, I'll educate. Experts say manual strangulation is the biggest sign domestic violence will turn deadly. Actually, I think the biggest sign is the billboard.
Boom. Brought it all the way back around. I will say this. On your next to the last page, I don't know. I just feel like there's stuff there that can get cut out a little bit. Yeah, so really for anyone who goes out of their way, it will be the first descriptor after their dead name, like Bob, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I didn't really hear anything in that that would work on stage. But then I do like that they can sell the belt in the gift shop. I would just go straight to that. Or rewrite it, maybe. But I didn't see any real reason to leave that in there. Yeah, the belt in the gift shop is good. And then turns out the billboard was for domestic violence. I still think there's a really good joke there about how many victims of domestic violence have orgasms. when they're getting jokes. But I do. I think the best joke is the last one where you say experts say manual strangulation is the biggest sign domestic violence will turn deadly. Actually, I think the biggest sign is the billboard. I think that's a great way to end. That's it.
Okay.
That's a very strong joke at the end.
So pretty much it's cutting down and punching up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I think we got it tightened up pretty good.
So with that, last time we talked about on the observational comedy about the staying on the same limb but looking out at other branches. And what branches do you feel like I'm not exploring with this observational set?
I had looked over this earlier with you before you went to the open mic, and I thought a missed opportunity, which you had kind of done initially. I told you to take it out. You're talking about you saw a billboard for the Uranus Fudge Factory,
mm-hmm.
and then you went over some of the stuff, and I asked you, okay, so are these things that you're making up, or are these things that they use in their advertising?
It was like 92.8.
Right. So I said I wouldn't do that, but what I would do is find other things that advertising, like a billboard, has drawn your attention to. Like I said, you bought a Ford F-150 because it looked really cute on the billboard. But I would definitely try and find some things to preface this with. And there's a lot of funny billboards. Like, there's all kinds of God billboards in Texas and all throughout the South. You have all the different casino billboards.
We are heavy on those here.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's plenty of opportunity with what have other odd billboards got you to do that you would have never normally done.
Right, okay.
And then you see this one for choking is deadly, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? I knew that I was supposed to go buy a new truck.
Right, I absolutely buy lottery tickets every time the billboard tells me to.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is clear, but choking is deadly. I was worried that I was going to have to kill my husband or whatever, you know? I thought whoever made that billboard might have read the last text exchange I had with one of my kids.
Okay, so a couple of the other branches could be leading into it, a couple of different billboards that have affected me, and according to the rule of three that we've just went over, that I should probably pick two more billboards. And not go deep diving on them, just sort of state them as...
I mean, if you can find something fun, you can never make people laugh too much. So I don't think you're going to overdo the material. Just the stuff that you do, keep it concise, right? For the choking thing, I think maybe one of the missed things on the billboard could be that you thought it might have been something for the Heimlich maneuver. It might have been an advertisement for Simone Biles. She was the gymnast on the...
That choked. Oh, dude.
Yeah, something...
Oh, terrible. Okay, so a sports person who chokes. That's good.
All right. So here's what I would like for you to do. We did a show with a guy. What's going on?
We were supposed to talk during this episode at some point about evergreen versus tropical jokes and the pros and cons of both.
Can we do that on the next episode?
Sure.
Is it something that we teased?
Yes.
We'll just hit it next time.
Okay.
Okay, so for this week's homework assignment,
uh-huh.
A couple weeks ago, you and I did a show in Fort Worth at Hyenas with a couple different guys and gals who are comedians. I want you to go back and get those names, add them on Facebook or whatever, and I want you to message at least two or three of them about any possibility for stage time on upcoming shows.
Okay.
So just be like, hey, had a lot of fun. You know, reach out to the guy. I think his name was JP.
Yeah, we're already Facebook friends.
Okay, so reach out to JP. Reach out to Michael. I can't remember the other woman that was on the show and two of the other guys, but...
I call her Panda Porn.
Panda Porn. But yeah, just reach out and be like, hey, I'd love to come down and get on some shows. If you have any spots open on anything, like, let me know. I'll get it on my calendar or whatever. That's the next step, is now that you have a couple good 5 minute sets, is to get booked on some showcases where you can do like 5 to 10 minutes, you know. And I would just be honest with them. Like, if they say like, hey, we can give you 10 minutes, I'd just be like, hey, I'd like to just do five.
Okay.
If that's what you feel really comfortable doing. I mean, if you want to do more, absolutely. But don't ever hesitate when someone asks you to do a show. Don't ever hesitate to be like, I'd rather just do this much time.
Okay.
Because it's better to leave people wanting more than halfway through your set have people wishing you'd get off the stage.
For sure.
I think you did 7 or 6.
It was close to 7.
Right? So, I mean, I think another good, like, 5 to 7 minute set would be great.
For sure. And that sounds like fun to reach out to people anyway.
Yeah, and let's get you on a show where I'm not on it. So you're doing your own thing.
Right. Okay. I like it.
But then once you get booked on it, like, you know, be sure to, like, put in a good word for me.
Always.
See if you can get me on the show.
Coming right back at ya.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So Billy is kicking ass and putting together puzzles. I am continuing to prune and punch my comedy.
You got to treat your jokes like a bonsai tree.
Yeah, I kill those motherfuckers.
It's a tree. They kind of just grow on their own.
I guess until then, I'll just stay stuck in Texas.
Stuck in Texas. All my exes left me in Texas.
I wish I knew how to spell better.
B-E-T-T-E-R. I used to take Ambien, and one night after I took Ambien, I woke up with a new dog.
Expand a little?
I took some Ambien, and then I woke up the next morning, and I had a new dog. I don't know if you heard the part about the Ambien. All that stuff in the middle is a little blurry.
You're right. It's Ambien. That story should make perfect sense.
But I apparently went on Craigslist and then got in my car and drove and picked up a dog. Yeah, he was cool. His name was Beagle.
And was he a Beagle?
He was a pit bull.
Did you also name him while you were on Ambien?
No.